Hello, and welcome to episode 2 of the Low Level Podcast. I'm your host today, Miles, known as Behemoth on the JRPG Chronicles Discord. Today we have Rob, better known as Sid. How are you doing today?
Good, man. Good. Hey, everyone.
We have Jim here, known as Rude on the Discord. How are you?
Yo, good. I just wanted to apologize for the last episode. I left my personality at home, but I brought it today, so...
Perfect. Well, hopefully we'll see it. We also have Jake, also known as Cosmo Canyon. How's it going?
Hey, what's up? Howdy. Howdy, howdy.
Excellent. Well, today we're back with some news around the JRPG world, along with a full discussion of our opinions and experiences with the Team JRPG's Game of the Month, Lunar, the Silver Star Story. So, we'll get into the news here to start off. It was a huge week for games. Gamescom was going on.
Where is that being held this year?
Germany, right?
Is it only Germany? Germany? Cologne?
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah, it was in Germany. It's day 3 right now, I believe. So, I mean, they still have a bit more things to announce, but I think for the JRPG games, it's kind of finished up. So, Soul Hackers 2 released today, actually. That's a spinoff series in the Shin Megami Tensei universe. The first game came out, I think, on like the DS Lite or something like that.
Was it DS or was it that like a remake of like an earlier?
It might have been. I think the first game was actually on Saturn, wasn't it? Soul Hackers. You
know,
something. There's so many.
I think it might have been. Maybe I'm wrong, but I know that there was a DS. Maybe it was like a remake or something.
Yeah, I know. I remember having. I have the cartridge, and I played a little bit.
I think that's why a lot of people were introduced to the series.
You guys played Soul Hackers?
Mm-mm. No, I actually haven't played any games in the series at all.
You haven't played a single Shin Megami
Tensei? I'm a bad JRPG game.
None of them?
Yeah.
Wow.
I haven't played any Persona or any of that kind of stuff. I should probably start. I think the Super Famicom games look really cool.
I think, well, I don't know if I'd start there if you're going to start one. I think Persona is going to be the most like accessible.
Think so? Sure.
Oh, yeah. I'd start with Persona 4. I mean, that would be, they're all their individual stories, and that one is lauded as... Persona 4 and 5 are.
How many hours is that?
Huge.
I know they're pretty.
They're all 100
substantial,
hours games,
up to 100.
I think that's
sure.
Why. That's what keeps me away from it. Honestly, is the length and yeah. I mean,
well, what are you so busy for? What are you doing with your time? That's
man, I got lots of stuff to do. I'm doing a podcast.
Fair enough. Back to news with Miles.
Yeah. So this entry, Soul Hackers 2. The difference between the first game, it comes with a pretty satisfying combat and social elements. It's its own standalone story, so you don't need to play the first game at all. And aside from the first game that was like a first-person dungeon crawler, this one takes a third-person perspective.
Yeah.
Kind of like...
It's like Persona.
Kind of like the trend of all the games right now, so...
What separates the Soul Hackers from Persona? Because the videos I watch, like the combat... Well, it looks somewhat similar just because it's the kind of... third-person exploration, but also the... turn-based combat, but
I mean they all kind of share the same tone. I think this is mainly like the theme. This one kind of feels like a more cyberpunk-esque,
or Persona's all about kind of the school experience, the social element of that, but this is Soul Hackers always been kind of the social elements of Persona? Or,
well, I mean, I like I said, I barely played the first
right.
one.
Yeah,
but the Shin Megami Tensei, it always seems like there's an apocalypse or some world-ending scenario that you need to go and take care of. And you're like a character ripped out of time, or somebody who's died, come back to life, and been given this ability to go do whatever.
They tend to be darker than the Persona games, I think, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Persona definitely carries like a more charm. The other ones are a lot darker, bleak outlook. So, well, along with that, Disgaea 7 was announced in Japan, coming out January 26th. This game, apparently, it takes a lot from Japanese culture, and so that's where the theme will kind of be going towards. It's about the heroes regaining their lost Bushido, so aside from the other games where you're, like, in and out of hell, this is in a special world location where it looks like you're in feudal Japan. So,
have you been to Japan before?
Absolutely. I can't wait to go back.
Oh, we did, yeah, man. We went. How many years ago was that?
2018. Nerds. So
was it 2018?
Yep. And then we're gonna go again in 2020, but
yeah,
things happened.
That'd be fun to go again. It was awesome.
I would love to go back to Japan.
Yeah,
my big
Japan
me
right
and
here.
Me and Jake's big plan when we go to Japan is to backpack and then take the train that goes through the whole country,
the Shinkansen.
Yeah, take that around and. there's apparently a whole bunch of places you can stop and either camp for free or very, really, really, really cheap or get cabins and stuff. Yeah. So yeah, we should all do that sometime. I would love that.
That would be fun. Absolutely. Wasn't it one of the requirements to be on this podcast? You had to go to Japan.
Oh, I thought. Oh, oh yeah. I'll see you guys later.
Yeah. I'll jump at any opportunity to go back to Japan. It was like, it was an experience unlike any.
How long
other.
Did you go?
We're a week and a half, 2 weeks.
2 weeks. We spent okay. a week in Tokyo, a week in Kyoto.
Okay. Yeah. Nice. It was awesome.
Gundams? You see Gundams?
We saw the giant Gundam.
Any Godzillas?
Yeah, come on.
We Godzilla. Sure did.
We went to the Godzilla store, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Yep.
Big Godzilla sticking out of the top of the store.
Yeah, that was super
Monster
cool.
Hunter Beasts? Any of those?
Yeah, we did see they had that because World was launching around that. We saw they had a lot of promotional stuff and they had the armor that we stopped by. And then we made the trek to From Software too.
That was the
transportation was shut down because it was so late at night after getting ramen, and we're like, all right, this is the night to do it, because I think we were leaving Tokyo soon, so then we walked 2.5 hours to get to From Software and ended up peeing in the streets because all the bathrooms were closed too. We all had to go to the bathroom.
All we did was walk up to the building, look at it,
praise the sun
in front of it, and walked away. But you know, because
there's nothing
that's commendable.
There's no entrance to,
was that a part of the culture there, Jimbo?
What's that
in the streets of Japan? Was that part of the cultural experience?
I ended up peeing like a parking garage or something. Because there's everything was closed and there's no like 7-Elevens or convenience store to go by, so we just
you had the difficult decision: break the law.
And we waited a long time. We didn't just like, all right, I kind of have to
right.
go.
No,
we were
okay,
I'm gonna explode.
Right, that's what I'm saying. You were at that situation where you're like, oh crap, what am I gonna do here?
Yeah,
if you're lucky, bladder infection, or
if you're lucky and you find a Lawson's or a 7-Eleven, they do have like a small bathroom in the back corner, but. Yeah. If you walk in there, you wouldn't know unless you.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's not like it's not advertised.
And I heard the 7-Elevens are just completely different.
Okay, everything's completely different. I mean, how clean the city is too. Right. I mean, we could talk about Japan for hours. Well,
we could.
Miles and I could, but.
Miles, please. I'll get back to the news. I'm a little bit.
Well, I'll give one more thing before we move on. Me and Jim would sit there at home and watch 4K videos of just people walking through the streets of each district of Tokyo, because we were just like, we
just
to
get that vibe
so
again.
Much.
Wow. Yeah.
Okay.
It was a good time.
Oh, we got to go back then.
Disgaea. Have you guys played any of them though? I've never played a single Disgaea.
I haven't played any Disgaea. I've played the first one maybe for like an hour.
Why are people listening to this again?
Yeah. Right.
I played the first and second one. One of my other friends, he's played every single one that's come out. Loves the combat, loves the stories. And it's just really wacky. I mean, they had the spinoff, the Prinny Squad, which was like a side-scrolling platforming.
Actually, I played that one for a little bit. That one was fun.
That was really fun.
Yeah, I mean, like, the platforming was actually pretty fun and, like, action.
Yeah.
But I think it's really hard for me to get into, like, strategy RPGs just because I feel like it's a big time sink. Because a lot of the times, like, if you're, like, I don't know, when you go through some of those games and you want to do, like, a perfect, you know, kind of game and, like, or you want to get every item, a lot of times some of those battles are really hard to do. I mean, you have to like move to a specific square and like find that item that's like hidden there or something. So yeah, I don't know. That's another one that's kind of like
hardcore,
like getting into it. And
aren't those the ones where you can do like crazy damage to like over a million on certain hits?
Yep.
Like,
over 999 or whatever. Yeah, that's the funny.
Yeah. It's a game that doesn't take itself too seriously, but it also has, you know, serious tones and themes to it as well.
I feel like this is the first one in a while. Like, there hasn't, like, when did 6 come out?
6 actually came out recently, didn't it?
Oh, it did?
Yeah. Like,
I thought there was like kind of a hiatus. Was it because 5 was PS3, wasn't it?
I can't remember. I know that they come out with like plus versions and they like report them on.
Unless you were paying attention to the like Disgaea games coming out, they kind of slip under the radar because of other big titles and JRPGs that kind of overshadow them.
So, is this one going to be like different, like you were saying, than the previous ones, where it's gonna be maybe more of like a serious tone, like, or no, kind of the similar but just different setting?
Yeah, different setting. It says it's gonna be their biggest game yet. They have a lot more systems. They're adding like a morale system to it now, so not sure how that's really gonna play into it, but with being so unfamiliar with it, it must be a much larger game putting it out there, so
yeah, right.
We'll see what it ends up being when it comes out. Usually about 6 months after the Japanese release, you'll see
it looks like 2023.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, 5 came out in 2015, and then 6 was 2021, so not that long ago. But
I'm interested because I do like Feudal Japan.
Yeah, that one might be worth checking out.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, next up on the news, we have Yuden Chronicles 100 Heroes. The Gamescom trailer came out for that. This game was a Kickstarter back from August of 2020. They raised about $4 million to help bring it to life. So I know people are pretty excited for this one because it did have a lot of the key creators of Suikoden backing this game and helping create it. So,
did you guys back it at all?
I didn't back it, but actually their server is one of our affiliated servers in JRPGC. So, yeah, we're actually pretty close with the creators. Well, not obviously, we haven't talked with them or anything, but we get their updates from their Discord server and stuff, and it's pretty cool to see. We've kind of watched their process from like Kickstarter to now, and it's been pretty cool to see.
Were you ever a Kickstarter backer? Like, did you back any games ever?
I've never really gotten into that, just because. I don't know. I think like back in the day, what was that one that the Final Fantasy Tactics guy started, and it was like a huge flop that they're still talking about. I can't remember what it's called.
Yeah, I remember that. I was super hyped.
Yeah, everyone got really hyped. I think like
the Tactics guy?
Yeah, I think I was paying attention to that one. It was maybe I think it was somebody that was involved with Tactics. I can't remember. Maybe it was the composer or something.
Yeah, I can't remember. I remember it being a really.
It might have been like an indie company with the composer doing the music from Tactics or something. But anyway, maybe I'm wrong, but anyway, I think I remember paying
Red
attention.
Ash? I know that's one. I know, like,
I can't remember.
To me, there was too many. I think they started, it was a kind of a novel way to back these games, but then there's just one, there's too many, and then I think after a while, you kind of start to see that, okay, not all of them were kind of living up to, I don't know, what was promised necessary, which is understandable with some of the budgets on of them, but I don't know. The Tactics one, though, I don't think it was like the director of Tactics. I'd be surprised, but
I don't know who exactly was. I thought that's the only thing I can remember exactly about it was that somebody from Tactics was involved, but maybe I'm just completely making something up here. But as far as I know, is the whole thing about that reason why I brought it up was because I thought that paying attention to something like that,
unsung
like,
story.
That's what it was. Thank you.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah. Paying attention to something like that and then seeing it just kind of dive bomb and just totally disappear. And
almost 16,000 backers,
promises.
Yeah.
Yeah, people were pretty upset about that. Oh, so wow. I just kind of never got into the whole Kickstarter thing.
Yeah,
I never heard about this one.
Have you Kickstarted anything before?
I Kickstarted a lot of stuff. I mean, the first kind of the big one, the Double Fine Adventure, that was one of the first big ones. I did that. I'm trying to think. It's been a while since I've done one, though, just because I think I did Swery's last game, like The Good Life or whatever. I don't know if you guys ever played Deadly Premonition or any of those games.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that was the last one. Where's the Ayudin Chronicles? It looks cool. I've never played a Suikoden game, though, so I didn't have any.
Well,
wait, is it Suikoden or Suikoden?
I've always said Suikoden, but I'm probably
wrong right now in the
knowing
corner.
Knowing how I said the previous game last week.
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be a lot of we'll get corrected on.
I'm sure.
For sure.
Yeah.
The last game I Kickstarted was Shenmue 3, which
what do you think about that there, Coach?
I played it and it was a disaster. It did not recapture
the
love and care that those original games had that just kind of made them quirky, campy.
Were you happy to get it though?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
did you beat it?
No. I've only played a couple hours of it. It's just like such a weird, it's even weirder than what you're comfortable with. So I'll probably give her another shot just because.
What do you mean by that?
Just like the dialogue's really jacked up, the movement. They really lean into the CQC events, which is what were in the previous games.
Yes.
And then speaking of Kickstarters and JRPGs, there was actually some news today that the Wild Arms and Shadowhearts creators launched a double Kickstarter campaign for spiritual successors named Armed Fantasia and Penny Blood. I'm assuming Armed Fantasia is the Wild Arms successor and Penny Blood is the Shadowhearts, just based on the way it looks. But
breaking news.
That's cool. Yeah. I mean, that was...
this just in. Breaking
That was
breaking
a couple
news.
Hours ago, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm all for it. I'm all for them bringing games like that back, whether it's a new IP or whatever. I mean, if the success of this Kickstarter campaign, judging how the game, when it comes out, what people think of it, I mean, it might be an avenue for old titles to find funding. So
I don't know if you guys actually watched the trailer too. It looked pretty good.
Yeah.
Compared to like what you saw from the beginning of the Kickstarter, it was nice that they kept the sprites of the characters. The enemies were 3D, which was, I don't think that they were at the launch, which is whatever.
Yeah,
but so, the setting still looks really, really cool, and like I'm really interested to play this game because I'm a huge fan of Suikoden.
Yes.
You let us know.
Yeah, you let us know.
So this is interesting, though, that Kickstarter, that's like, it's a double Kickstarter. So it's, right. I've never seen it before.
Not I wonder either.
Why.
Is it the same director or is it two different people?
It's two different.
Okay. I'm all for it, man, to bring some of these. I mean, who also did it? Bloodstained with Castlevania games.
And so that game turned out really well.
The game, everyone liked that.
Huh. Okay, so this is from RPGsite.net. The two teams will join forces to bring together fans of JRPGs in one massive double Kickstarter. Through this campaign, both teams will support each other's projects, help establish new opportunities, and attempt to reach the largest number of fans possible. Backers will have a choice of funding Pennyblood, Arm Fantasia, or both titles to receive rewards from a wide array of choices. Further, the two titles will share a new combo meter that will unlock new content for both games, a feature never before seen in a Kickstarter game campaign. It's interesting. I mean, maybe it's just a way to kind of, I don't know, make headlines, because at this point, Kickstarters are,
I think people
have been burned enough where it's like, it's not just enough where your favorite creators are working on this game where it's like, okay, well, what's the other way to
Mega Man.
For sure.
It's a weird cough you got there.
Yeah. Just not happy about that one.
So, Ayudin, you guys looking forward to it then?
Oh, absolutely. I'm for sure, as a huge fan of Suikoden.
Cool.
For sure.
Excellent. Well, few more things. These are the more high-profile, newsworthy sections. Forspoken, the gameplay overview came out for that game. That's Square Enix's new title coming out. That game...
it's got some weird dialogue.
Some dialogue that people have memed the heck out of. But, you know, it looks like it's... you're using magic, you're using parkour, melee to kind of traverse the world, the area. And over the overview, they show so many locations. It seems like an enormous game. So
this is the FF15 developers.
Yep.
Isn't it?
Yep. And you can definitely tell that
it looks like a Final Fantasy.
It looks like a Final Fantasy 15 game because the deserts, the kind of.
I wonder if it's the same engine.
Yep. Rocky crags and stuff like that. But
the traversal looks super cool.
Oh yeah.
And I didn't watch the trailer that's kind of been memed on, but the latest one that they put out after showing the gameplay where it has like a Devil May Cry kind of grading system during combat, looks really cool. I don't know. I think it looks good.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully it'll turn out well. I know they delayed it. So I think maybe they think they got something there that they're going to polish up and make into something good, but
yeah, I mean, it's their next big title before Final Fantasy 16, I believe. So
is it the same director as 15?
That I'm not sure on. So
I have a feeling it's gonna flop. That's just me. It just looks a little. I think it's been delayed a few times, and
yeah,
the dialogue looks pretty.
Well, we'll see. I mean, cautiously optimistic.
Right. It could just be people just making fun of it and everything. But yeah, I'm not too optimistic about it. Just I wasn't a huge fan of 15, but
sure. Yeah. Well, next up we got Wolong: The Fallen Dynasty. This is Team Ninja's new Soulsborne game. This one looks like it kind of derives with, it's changing the formula up. It's going to be about Chinese martial arts. It's going to be about some parkour, some more like, magic martial arts. And they said by the time the game comes out, they'll have over 10 weapons. They're relating it really close to like Sekiro. So whether you consider Sekiro a JRPG or not, I mean, it'll still follow that Soulsborne formula. And I mean, the trailer looked awesome, so the game could definitely be a sleeper hit until Neo 3 comes out, because I know a lot of people really enjoyed that series.
Yeah, or I wonder if they'll just move on to this, like if this will be a big enough hit.
Yeah.
Did Neo, is it more story focused than Dark Souls?
I'd say so.
Yes, for sure. Yeah. But it's also still really loose.
Yeah. Is 2 a continuation of the first game?
It's like, almost like you're just like watching like Japanese history, just kind of like, and you're just kind of like a character that's a part of it. So
yeah,
I made it to 2. I mean, like a couple hours into 2, it was just a little bit.
2 is harder than 1.
A little bit more difficult, yeah. Actually. I had to set it down.
I love Neo though. That was a great game. That was if you like Souls, you should definitely play it.
Yeah, very enjoyable.
Do you have less patience for a harder game these days? Like, would younger Jake power through it? Or?
Oh, younger Jake all day.
I think younger Jake would.
You know, he was chasing after ladies. He wasn't fishing. He was a gamer.
Yeah, younger Cosmo would have gotten through that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Younger Jake was pretty hardcore. Yeah. He was playing Monster Hunter Online on PS2, the first one. I remember.
How about
that?
Monster Hunter on the DS? That was insane.
Yeah. You guys played that
pain
forever.
In the butt. Oh, moving that camera.
Yeah, with the little.
But I'm trying to become a harder gamer. You know, I'm trying to become a solid gamer, and I guess that's why I'm here.
Yeah. Well.
Good.
Hopefully we can help.
Yeah.
You
hopefully
out.
We can help you with that. Appreciate it. Well, I mean, you played this game, so that's one.
Yes. Oh, and the last bit of news today, and one of my favorite games of the year,
which is
maybe
what?
Even of all time,
which is what?
Elden Ring. Sales are still strong 6 months after the release. They just announced it.
I can see that glimmer in your eye. How many times you beat that game? I just know you're itching. Your arms are twitching. There's almost a sword in your hand. And how many times?
I platinum the game.
So. There we go. There's
the P word. Platinum.
The P word.
Yeah, they shipped 16.6 million copies since its launch. The whole entire Souls series, I believe, only put out 29 million.
So oh, wow.
So
it's such a big
not game. Even in its finishing its first year out yet. And they have a rumored DLC that kind of got leaked called Barbarians of the Badlands. That one's supposed to come out, if the sources are true, next fall. So 2023.
Okay.
Fall. Huh.
I am all over that game. It's amazing. I've only beaten it once, but I'm not like, I don't know. I'm messing around when I'm saying it's like one of the best open world games of all time.
Yeah.
So that is crazy too, because those numbers were from, I mean, update from June,
mm-hmm.
and we're almost to the end of August, so it's going to be even more than that. And then also, I mean, Dark Souls 3 did 10 million lifetime?
Something
so
like that.
During the first month, Elden Ring shattered what Dark Souls 3 did. Like, it's just crazy how much of a big step up that was.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the hype before that game came out was just sky high.
Well, waiting.
I still haven't played it. I have to get to it.
You got
to
play
it. I know.
Waiting for Bloodborne 2 one day. Hopefully.
Do you think, because to me, seeing the success of Elden Ring, it makes me feel like Bloodborne 2 is less likely.
Yeah, it's less likely.
What about like a remaster?
Because Sony owns Bloodborne and they're not going to put on anything other than PS5 and PC.
I would say a remaster would make everybody go crazy.
That's just
that's what everybody wants,
thing.
Though.
You would think that if they didn't patch it by now and put out a PS5 patch or
that they're
working
on
a remake,
right.
Or
why
someone
would they
is,
do it?
I don't know.
Because doesn't Dark Souls 3 have a 60 frames per second, right, on PS5?
3 does.
Yep.
And supposedly, like,
or it could be like Grand Theft Auto 5, and
it's
just charge people $15 to play it in 60 frames per second.
Yeah, it's. I mean, there's a kind of a data miner hacker guy, Lance McDonald, online and on Twitter. He posts some interesting stuff, and supposedly, like, it's just like a line of code that needs to be changed, and that's it.
Yep.
But
yeah.
Wow. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I think this game, if you weren't into a Souls game before, this kind of gave you that. Opening into the door, because the game doesn't follow the normal formula.
Yeah,
you can kind of go do whatever you want and come back to other stuff. And yeah, I mean, future games, they'll never go back. I don't think they'll ever go back to that same formula. They'll kind of stick to this, maybe
True.
Even evolve this into something else.
Well, and it's kind of Zelda situation too with Breath of the Wild, of just like, can they go back? Like,
should they
like
go
are
back?
Should they go back? Are the handheld, like, well, I guess, I mean, this at this point, the Switch is a handheld, where before you had that separation of like the 3DS games, DS games versus the console games, where now it's all handheld. I mean, because I wonder if they'll still do the Link's Awakening type game for Zelda, where it's like top down, or if everything is going to be, I don't know. I mean, they're pouring everything into Breath of the Wild too, I'm sure, but it's the question of, can they go back?
Mm-hmm.
What do you guys, as people who devoured Elden Ring, what do you guys want out of a DLC?
Honestly, yeah. I mean, just like a new area to explore would be totally. They just kept it the same and just gave me new monsters to fight and a new area to explore and new items to get.
Open up some plot lines that kind
of
got.
Yeah, maybe finish off some
off
of those plot lines.
Never...
Yeah.
Is there any part of the map that feels like, oh, they could add something here? Or.
Maybe. I mean.
Or do you think it'd be like an island you go to? Or how do you think they would integrate it?
Yeah, maybe like an island or like some. There's actually some like cool spots in the map where like. I don't know if it's just like an old, because they're trying to make it look like an old ancient map, but
yeah.
Like, there's like a big hole in like the map, and you're like, oh, where does that go? But
there's some like fan theories about the game
that
Elden Ring is actually like the purgatory between every other universe.
Mm-hmm.
So like Dark Souls and Bloodborne are like, they're on the surface of this universe, and Elden Ring is like the purgatory in between. So
cool.
You never know where I could go with it.
I could see it after being in that underground place. Holy crap. That was amazing.
Don't tell me.
Whatever.
I gotta play it.
Yeah.
That was
been
my
saying
plan.
That for a while.
So I'm on paternity leave. My wife and I just had a kid a couple weeks ago.
Here we go.
Yeah. Congrats. Got the excuse. Yeah, he's been wanting to talk about this for a long time.
So, no, but that was my plan, because I'm off for a couple months, and I was like, okay, I'm going to beat Elden Ring. I'm going to play Horizon Forbidden West, and I haven't played anything so far just because, I don't know, I haven't had time. But I think once baby gets settled, I'll be gaming some more.
But, yeah, you're going to have a blast playing that through that game.
Oh, I'm so excited. Yeah. I mean, because Breath of the Wild is like one of my favorite games of all time. I've heard Elden Ring. Compared in a lot of ways.
Yeah. I think for you, when we back in the day did that race to beat Demon Souls against each other,
oh yeah,
I think this will kind of recapture that kind of golden year time.
That's what I'm hoping for.
It's such a great game.
I'm hoping for
it. Is,
yeah,
the multiplayer is really fun too.
Yeah,
is the game fair?
Oh, the game is fair. Mm-hmm. It's all your fault.
Yeah, absolutely.
Miles would come over because we both would work late, and we play Demon Souls. I don't know, until like 3 a.m. And then, like, I think one night we were just, I don't know what boss I was banging my head against the wall, but I all of a sudden started chanting, "The game is fair. This is all my fault. The game is fair. This is all my fault." And that became kind of a thing.
I remember looking over and like, "Are you okay, dude?" Yeah. And then you threw your controller and broke it.
Well, I broke it a separate time. I still have I held on to the controller because it was the memory of playing Demon's Souls. And I think that was the only time I've ever broken a controller playing a game, but great game.
Whoa.
Have you guys ever broken anything playing a game?
That's a rude rage.
I witnessed someone break a controller once. Threw it in honey mustard, I think.
Honey mustard?
No,
or barbecue sauce.
Ketchup.
Oh,
ketchup. Were you guys just playing games at a barbecue?
That person, they may be listening. Was it over Risk?
Towerfall.
Towerfall?
Yeah.
On PS4?
We were all sitting there and he threw it and it fell into the pot of ketchup. That's right.
Yeah, WoW's just such a big pile of ketchup.
We made 5 pounds of tater tots or French fries.
Chicken nuggets or something. Yeah,
something to share with everybody.
Something to share. Yeah.
I hope you still have that controller.
That person I convinced that they had bought me another controller. I was like, no, you got to buy me another one. This one's tainted now.
Yeah.
But no, have you guys ever raged out and broken anything playing a game?
Never.
Never?
Maybe back in the day I was playing like a Tomb Raider game and I threw the controller at the system and it broke.
I think maybe I've smacked my computer screen when I was playing Dota back in the day.
Oh, sure. Well, then there you go. Yeah. That's a recipe for disaster right there.
Right. And I think actually after that happened, I was like, I think I'm done playing these games.
Yep.
Sure.
I'm getting crazy.
Maybe Ninja Gaiden for me.
Ninja Gaiden. Which one? Sure. Yeah. On NES or
kind of blocked it out. Kind of
no,
blocked
played
it
the new one.
The newer one that was on like Xbox and
Xbox.
You never had an Xbox though, did you?
Yeah, 360.
Well, that's right, you did. Was it 2 or 1?
I think it was 1.
Okay.
Dude,
Alma
like...
on 1, that game was tough. Mm-hmm. So the controller, though, I bounced off the ottoman and then hit the ceiling. So it wasn't, I didn't chew on it or stomp on it or anything like that. But I did break a wicker chair when I was playing Gears of War on Insane. The final boss, General Ram, it was just insanely hard, and I remember just dying over and over, and I just turned around in this uncomfortable wicker chair. I don't remember, Jake, if you remember those. And I just turned around, I just punched a hole right through the wicker chair. Yeah, and I'm not by any means like a rage type game player, so it's just kind of, it's funny that happened, but
for sure.
Yeah.
All right, guys, well, that's all we have for the news for this episode. Next we're gonna head into the big meat and potatoes part of the podcast, where we talk about Lunar the Silver Star story. How have you guys been enjoying the game so far? What port did you end up playing on, Rob?
I was playing the PlayStation, so the Silver Star Story Complete version. And I've played this game before, and I think I got similarly to the same point I had done like many years ago. And yeah, I love it. It's kind of like an addicting old school JRPG, you know, and you just, I like that it, like, at least the version I was playing, it felt modern. There was enough things that, while I did have some issues with some of the menu, I definitely really enjoyed, like, that I could, like, auto attack and, like, set up tactics.
Save anywhere.
Yeah, it was huge. I like that.
But yeah, I mean, I definitely really enjoyed it quite a bit.
And you and I both played the unworked designs.
Yeah, that's right. We played the unworked designs patch. Yeah. Which I definitely, after playing the original game on the PlayStation way back in the day, a physical copy, I definitely enjoyed this patch a lot more
because
it definitely didn't feel as tough, and like the monsters were just rocking you. Like, I think Miles, you had said you you had tried flies, out the other day, and that's flies. Why you played the PSP version. So, yeah, my experience has been really enjoyable so far.
Nice. Jim, how about you?
So I played the Unworked Designs patch of the PS1 game on the Steam Deck, and I played about 17 hours, so a good chunk of it. And I don't know my thoughts on it. There's certain things I like you're saying, some of the things that made it accessible, but I think ultimately I thought it was kind of boring. I think the story was the part that kind of kept me going, but the combat, I don't know. It just felt like you could do the AI combat and get through most of the game that way. But
sure. I mean, really, even with the bosses, huh?
Bosses were the ones where I had to change it up. Right. But yeah, like I just, because I was holding a new baby, I would just I was playing one handed, so I would just do the AI, and I was like, okay, I realized I could just use the AI for most of these battles. So I was like, I've never used AI in any RPG, but okay. This is the first one.
Okay.
Did you feel kind of guilty? Or?
Yeah. Right.
At first holding I did, the baby, but then the at first I did, but then I'm like, well, if I can just use the AI in every single one, the AI is doing the same thing every single battle. Like, is this battle system well designed? I don't know. And then it also made me curious, because then it's like, am I playing the best version? Like, should I play the Working Designs patch? Like, did they patch it for the better?
Sounds like a midlife crisis.
Which I didn't. Because I read the people's thoughts online, and most the consensus was play the original version, play the Unworked Designs. So that's the one I went with. But then, I don't know, I feel like I was just cruising through and wasn't challenged until you got to some of the bosses. Well,
I guess that what it comes down to is, like, what are you playing the RPG for? Are you playing it to grind? Most people aren't, and they don't want to waste the time doing that. And that's why I like the AI for those kind of quick battles, that it's like, I don't really need to pay attention here. And what I really liked about it is that you could just use the AI, but I found that when you use the AI, it would just like waste mana, and then you'd be screwed for the boss at the end of the level.
But that's the thing, though, is that you don't normally have to manage the mana unless you're fighting the boss.
No, so but it's just, I mean, those fights were so. So like I'm saying, if you're like going through a dungeon and you're fighting all the monsters along the way, and if you're just using AI, by the time you get reach the boss, you better have items to replenish your mana, otherwise you're gonna be fighting him without magic, which I couldn't beat the bosses without it.
And I think that's another flaw in the battle system of the bosses, is that it just relies on using your mana, buffing your character, and then just power attacking. Like, that's all I did for every single boss in the 17 hours I played.
That's really reminiscent of like an old strategy, though, Jim. Yeah, that's an old JRPG. Mm-hmm. That's kind
of
how they.
I mean, in a lot of ways, yeah, you're gonna want to unleash your power attacks, but like, I don't know, Dragon Quest XI, there's plenty of bosses of like, okay, you got to fight this tentacle of this sea monster.
Dragon Quest XI, that's exactly what you do, though. Power yourself up and like...
No, but there's more to it than just brute forcing your way through, where you have to think about the battles, where like status effects actually matter on bosses in Dragon Quest, and like, I don't know, attacking certain parts of the boss, where this is just, okay, buff the character and then just unleash everything. So, I don't know. I was kind of bored, to be honest.
Okay. All right.
Jake, you were kind of taking care of a baby, so could you really be in the moment gaming?
Yeah,
and
see, that's what I mean.
All this is feeding a baby?
This is with a grain of salt.
Game is fair.
No, and I do realize I played this not in the best way. I mean, I don't feel like I was...
There it is.
Completely uninvested. Like, I did try to give it time and like, I don't know, attention, but I feel like there wasn't enough there where... I don't know, where I felt like I needed to not use the AI, where I'm just like, okay. And normally I've never used AI in any game before. I know Dragon Quest XI gives you the option, but never.
See, this is a big deal for Jimbo.
Yeah, he's got a lot to say.
Yeah, here. He does.
I feel like I'm back into a corner already. What did you think, Jake?
Going into it, not knowing too much about the game, I think sometimes...
And when did you start playing, by the way?
Well, which port did you play first?
Same one as Robbo, the PlayStation patch.
Okay.
On the SNES Classic?
Correct. Yeah. Going into the game, I didn't know too much about it. But it was nice, because the storyline was just kind of like, just very gentle. It just kind of brought you there. The music was great. I liked the music a lot. And yeah, for sure. Just kind of like, that's what kind of kept me going for the most part, was just the wonderful music. Yeah. And the Ocarina, I did not see that solo coming out.
That's good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was looking for a pan flute, but I'm like, oh, this is good out of nowhere.
Yeah, I really
like... Did you say Macarena?
Ocarina.
Ocarina.
Yeah. Is it Ocarina or Ocarina?
I think it's Ocarina, but Macarena is the the hit song from the 90s.
What did I say, Macarena or Ocarina?
I don't know.
You said Ocarina?
I don't know.
Anyways, yes, I enjoyed it.
We'll review the tapes later.
Yeah, unlike you guys, I started with the PlayStation version.
Yeah.
The unpatched. I was not about it.
Why is that?
It was just really hard to play. The menus were really like old school, clunky, and I really just wanted to play for the story.
True.
I wanted the story because I heard the story itself is great. So I went to the PSP version, which was called Silver Star Harmony.
I didn't know they changed that.
Yeah, they changed the title.
How much of the PS1 did you play before you put it down?
I played about 5 hours. So I made it to Saith or Vayne, whatever, right around there before I kind of was just like, I want to see what the other version's like. And I mean, the look's different. Pretty much everything's different. The voice acting's different. Music's the same. But, I really wanted to enjoy the story from the things I heard about it. And so I felt like it was the right choice for me.
Sure.
So
did you prefer anything about the PS1, the short time that you played, over the PSP version?
I mean, I liked its classic look, and it's been a really long time playing like an old school JRPG for me. So, I mean, it was nice to get into something that you're not like sitting there wondering like if it's in 4K or
sure.
Like the music's, 5.1 surround, whatever.
Did they redraw all the sprites, everything?
Yep. Pretty much everything about that game is different except for the music. Gameplay is the same. It's all like the menus are cleaned up. It's on a PSP, so you have to make it a little bit easier to use.
Sure.
Because you're playing on that small screen. But the AI auto battler, I mean, it was, you sometimes you couldn't use that because you kill all your characters. And
so on the PSP version, you feel like you couldn't use the AI.
No, I used it a lot. It just, there were certain points of the game where versus certain enemies, you can't use it.
Yeah, I ran into that too, even on the PlayStation version, like where if I was just trying to cruise through, eventually I'd run into a bit. Because at least what I was noticing is on the PlayStation version, yeah, you could see the enemies, which was one thing I forgot to mention. I really enjoyed was, I don't know if this is because this originally came out on Sega CD.
Yep.
So I don't know if that version did the same as the PlayStation version, where you could actually see the enemies without it just being a random encounter, So I'm wondering if this is one of the first games that did that. But at least in the PlayStation version, it was so hard to even get away from them.
Oh, I know. They'd
be like, hey, and then they'd like, ah! And they'd come after you. And they'd book at you too.
Well,
it's
they would.
Fast.
You can't get away. But then sometimes you get in a corner dodge. With two enemies, and then you got to fight them both.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like,
you fight
I didn't sign up for this.
Right. Well, early in the game, there's the kind of crystal ice cavern you go to, and you actually use the enemy, like the Yetis, to break down some of the ice crystals. I thought that was pretty
cool.
That was fun. I've never seen that before in a game. But yeah, I think most of the time it's more of just, okay, this is a random battle because you can't escape from a lot of them.
Yeah.
It's not like...
Correction, they're albino baboons.
Sorry.
I leveled up on those guys.
Sorry. I don't know. I didn't... there were a couple times where I did just grind out a little bit, and I normally do that in RPGs where it's like, okay, I'm just going to hunker down because I realize, these guys give a little more experience. And maybe that was it. Maybe I shouldn't have grinded at all because I'd never switched the AI off unless I was doing a boss battle.
I don't think I grinded like once. I don't think I really like sat in an area and just grinded. What I just did was just progress through the story and fight everything along the way.
Sure. I kind of overdid it. I thought the Dragon Trials was like, oh, the Dragon Trials. I'm like, oh, I better level up for this.
Oh, so you thought you're gonna fight?
Yeah, just walking around. Yeah, it's just like, so everything after that was a little bit easier. I'm like, oh, Dragon Trials.
How did you guys feel about the mechanics for the game itself? Like, do you think it was pretty standard? Do you think there anything in it that kind of stood out from other JRPGs?
I noticed that it was interesting that, at least in the PlayStation version, where if you're going in to attack an enemy that's on the other end of the screen, like way on the, you had to almost like wait a turn before you could finally reach him to attack
him.
That
was interesting. I didn't realize that.
So that was something that like you couldn't just like in like Final Fantasy where you hit attack and then you attack them.
And for the enemies too.
Yeah, the enemies too. That was
the enemies
nice.
Too. They had to move closer to you to actually attack, yeah. which I really
like.
Liked.
That. I like that too.
And like I was saying before, I really liked the tactics commands that you can say, I just want everyone to attack and then everyone just attacks.
Yeah.
Or you can just want everyone to use magic. So it was like a smarter way to use the AI.
Yeah.
And not like auto attack.
Did they have AI battling a lot of those games back then? Because I've never...
Yeah, I don't think so.
...really seen it. I mean, a lot of more modern... I mean, because 12 was all about using the AI, using the Gambit system, which right. that was my first... So, I mean, I lied. I guess I did use AI because I used it in 12, but every other game I've never used it or, I don't know, I've never really noticed it before.
Yeah. Well, there's that one thing for each battle. I mean, I used it one time, is you can set your formation of your team. So I put my healer in the back, sure. have everybody else up front, because yep. they do need to go through you to get to them, unless they're using like an AoE attack. So that was fun, but I never needed to change it after that.
Sure.
Yeah, I definitely liked that too, that you could set where your people were going to be in the actual field, and it would determine who they what enemy would hit them first. Because
It's an interesting concept, but does that ever change though? Like, whatever, is there ever a situation where you don't want your healers
for
in
sure?
The back?
Yeah, or where you don't want them in the back? Yeah. I don't know. I usually you do, but. I think in maybe there's circumstances where they'll have like a weapon where they can still attack from the back. So
sure,
yeah, I don't know
all the way.
Healer yeah. in that game is pretty. The healers in that game are pretty beefy. So like,
oh, for
doesn't
sure.
matter where you really put them. I found that the magic users were pretty squishy. Anytime I auto battled, it's one of them that died.
Oh, squishy.
So,
okay.
So yep. I was like, oh, okay. Well, I got to bring him back.
So yeah, I guess you would always want to keep him in the back for the most part.
So that was my thing that I feel like was frustrating because, and I wonder how bad I would be on the original or on the kind of the working designs patch of just because I heard magic is a lot more limited in that they use it to charge to like escape dungeons and all everything. And that was the thing that I think kind of annoyed me about it is like, that was one thing I did have to manage. Because the magic is something you basically just refill when you get to the statues.
I was going to say, mention that too. I really liked that there wasn't an inn that you had to actually pay for and rest, that you could just go to a statue
for
and
sure.
rest.
I actually
and
ran into an accident. I'm like, oh, everything's filled. So that was a nice surprise.
Well, right. It's like, I feel like sometimes in other games, the inns start to get really expensive.
Yeah.
So that's nice. I don't have to worry about
the biggest difference between playing the PS1 version and the PSP version. The PS1 version was very hard to start. And the PSP version... easy, pretty easy throughout the whole game. Like
too easy.
I wouldn't say. I mean, I'd say it's like the fights are secondary to.
I wonder
the story.
If the PSP and
you're never like in true danger. And if like your party starts to go down, usually you can flee the fight.
Okay. Did you ever have to flee then?
Yeah, a couple times because I forgot to save, and I'm like,
of fleeing, I felt like it was impossible to do.
I tried fleeing twice.
You get rocked,
and then you just get rocked.
Yeah.
So I never did it.
It was very hard to run away in the battles here, and just like you couldn't run away from the enemies once they saw you.
Yeah.
So
I was pretty good at that, rolling the dice.
Because I don't think I saw
escaped a lot actually.
Really?
Yeah. I did.
So maybe it just must be a luck factor then.
For sure. But there's a time like I don't want to fight the spider or I don't want to fight something. I just kept like I don't want to like the forest. Like
sure.
I'm like I don't want to do this.
You are kind of lucky though in general, aren't you?
No, thanks. Yeah. A little bit. Yeah.
I'll tell you a story why I was able to flee from battles. So I was playing. I hadn't saved in about 5.5 hours.
Ooh.
And I died.
Oh my.
Went to a place I wasn't supposed to go. The Forbidden Woods.
Okay.
It's forbidden for a reason.
Yeah, it's forbidden for a reason.
And I thought I was tough shit. And AI auto-battled my way out of it. Well, I died. And I forgot to save. And I had to go all the way back to a certain point of the game.
That's rough.
And replay through it all.
You do 5.5 hours?
Yep, extra.
Oh my god. So, that's like one of the best... Because I think we're going to run into that a lot. That's one of the best modern changes of these new JRPGs is like
auto-saving,
dude. Oh my god.
After
like,
that, it was
Quest?
Save and save state in my emulator that
I was
playing on. I'm like, I cannot do this again.
What emulator did you use?
I used the PSP.
Okay,
there's really only the one, and it works really well.
Because I don't know what changed on the Steam Deck, but I used the save state, but then... event I don't know if I changed something in the settings, but then when I started to use the save state it would just crash. But luckily there's save anywhere, so I didn't really have to utilize it that
right
much.
I like that you could save anywhere. That was really cool.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys this happened to you guys, but I kept hitting the save button.
Dude, yes.
over and over again. Drove
dude.
Me nuts.
Oh,
that was
God.
Actually
and
pretty
I,
annoying.
And
yeah,
I did
that
not
was really
like
annoying,
that you
dude.
Couldn't change the controls at all in the PlayStation 1 version. So I would pretty much never, because I think at least on the Super Nintendo, it was the A button.
Yeah, no, it was
time. I would just avoid touching it at all. Because
it was circle to brings up the save menu?
Yes, yeah.
Because normally when I try to open a menu, it's going to be triangle, where this one was square, or was it triangle?
It definitely threw me off because it was way different.
Is it square to open the menu?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. So because I always think triangle when I'm playing JRPG. Triangle was cancel. And triangle was cancel, and then circle. Dude, yeah, that drove me nuts.
Thank you for bringing that up. That was like...
And then it's like loading memory card. I'm like, oh my God.
I'm like, stop.
So question for you guys. So Null, great character, by the way, during battles, he just kind of goes around. It's a he, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
He just revives people, but you don't really have any control of that.
Periodically. No. Yeah.
Yeah.
See, that was the thing that confused me.
He'll bring people back if they're still down.
Because sometimes he would revive, and I didn't know what the conditions on that were. Like, okay, why did he revive this person this time? Because there's no... Because there are reviving items, but is he using those?
No, I don't think so. I think it's just more of like a random thing that'll help your party.
Yeah, I think it's like the longer the player stays down,
yep,
then he gets sent out into the field to bring him back up.
Because, like you mentioned before, a lot of the menu stuff was confusing. Of just like, I didn't know if... Because there was one time where he just stopped reviving people. It's just like a longer boss fight where I ran out of mana, so then there's enough mana for my healers to keep healing, but not enough for Alex to kind of finish off the fight soon. But I didn't know if I didn't equip enough healing items with Null.
Well, I put a bunch of potions and stuff.
I don't think he uses the items that are in his, like,
right.
I don't think he does that.
I was confused about that.
Yeah, it is kind of confusing because they use him as the item bag or whatever.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Which, that was another thing, dude.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Moving, giving items.
You can't. Okay, so is the thing visually, if they're full, they're facing the other way in the menu when you're trying to buy something? Is that what it was? Because they'll be facing, and then they turn around, and I don't know if that's because their inventory was full.
Maybe. I know that if they're moving, it means they can equip it. I don't know. I wasn't sure.
So I think that was one thing I think that did seem balanced okay, was the battles were too easy, but I did have pretty much enough money every single time, which I don't know. That kind of takes away kind of the working towards, I want that sword, but I can't afford it. Like in Dragon Quest, where I feel like that's a really good balance, where you can't just go into every town and just buy everything you want.
What
all
is that
the
kind
time.
Of
you have to
just
sell
to
your
walk
old
in
equipment.
A town, though?
Right.
Miles, yeah. What do you think? Well, and you just buy everything? I kind of like that.
Yeah, I mean, I never had any issues. I mean, if I was getting low on money, I'd just sell my old stuff, buy the new stuff. I never had to come back and buy something. Well, there was some like rings and talismans that I just skipped because they were like 25 grand or 12 grand.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't need that right now.
I was going to ask you this, Miles, in the PlayStation portable version, did they have the locked chests that you'd have to go back to?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they did.
Okay. Cool.
What's up with those? I've never got to
say.
Yeah,
I like that mechanic in JRPGs. I think Dragon Quest does
that. So you have to
that.
Complete a certain part of the story to get an item, and then you can. There's like a section of the game called the treasure hunt where you go around back to all the places you went to and unlock all those chests. There's good items in there, and there's whatever items, money.
That's the thing, though. I mean, when the game is as easy as it is, like to me, that's just like, well, what's the point?
Yeah.
Of going back where you can just kind of get through every
just
battle.
Just another side quest,
like,
right?
How many game overs did you guys really get during your playtime?
I got a couple.
The one where I had to replay five and a half hours.
Well, Miles, you
I
beat
leveled
it.
Up pretty high in the cave with the albino baboons, so I was pretty
albino
good.
Baboons, yeah. That's right.
One game over the whole playthrough.
The whole game. See, to me, that's that, I don't know, boring. Like,
well, and,
one game over, dude?
Well, that's the criticism of the PlayStation Portable version, is that it's too easy.
Well, that's the thing. That's what I'm thinking. Like, should I have played the Working Designs patch? Or
Somebody who's played both,
yeah,
I think that you should still play the patch just because it flows a lot better,
right?
Like any other JRPG from, like, that time period.
But is it a Dragon Quest situation, though, where it starts hard and then
so.
It gets easier?
I don't think so. I feel like... I've played Dragon. I know what you're talking about, like Dragon Quest VIII. When it got released here in the States, it was like pretty tough at the beginning. But like, I feel like it feels unfair, almost unfair.
Okay.
And I feel like that game doesn't. Dragon Quest VIII, it really doesn't. Like, I feel like you can kind of grind yourself out. Yeah, there it is. There's the slime. Slime's here with us, by the way,
slime's
everyone.
Here.
So
everyone just pets
plush. Slime. Oh yeah.
How did you guys feel about the art design and the music in the PlayStation?
Wonderful.
Music's great.
Good.
Music was a highlight for me.
Yep, I love the music. I wish that maybe there's a little more variation with the town music, but I still really enjoyed the themes.
Sure.
Cutscenes were kind of cringy at times, but I was trying to get into it, so.
Do you have any favorite places or locales that you visited and what you got through?
Caves.
The caves.
The cave was a good theme for sure. Yeah, you love the caves.
I'm trying to think. It. I think the Magic Guild was cool. How you get there. I mean, we won't talk about too much of the late game stuff. I got about halfway through. I was like 17 hours in. Miles, I know you beat it. Rob, how much did you play? How many hours?
I played 13 okay. hours in.
And Jake?
Yeah. 8 hours.
And when did you start the game, Jake?
Oh, that's beside the point. Yesterday.
I got Jake call me yesterday. How do I play this game? Where is the game?
Where is this game?
Oh no, you were lost. Well, at least you found your way.
I did.
You found your way.
I did.
Yeah.
So I was surprised that you played that much in
it
that
was fun.
Amount of time.
I had a good time with it. Yeah. Like, I think sometimes with me, like getting into like, you know, or JRPGs or any game in general, it's like, oh gosh, like I know it's gonna be a grind. I always take that moment and like, all right, well, this is like a 40-hour game. It's an investment of time. With this game, it was fun. It was just kind of like it flowed really well, and just the music, and it was just awesome because I'm trying to get back into more of RPGs. So this is just a great way to just kind of transition into an easier RPG, and just it was fun. I had a lot of fun, actually.
And that's why I think I really liked the patch, especially for somebody that was playing for the first time. I feel like instead of focusing on the grinding and, you know, just getting like wiped out and trying to like,
right,
you know, get through all the monsters, that you can just kind of focus on the story and like the good parts of the game.
Right. I thought like, the characters, the introduced characters, that was fun. Yeah. It usually caught me off guard every time. Like, oh, wow.
The anime introductions of the
characters. Yeah, it wasn't too, but it was kind of refreshing. Mm-hmm. I thought.
Hey, Alex.
Yeah, let's talk about that name for a second.
Ramis?
No, Alex.
Oh, Alex.
Let's talk about all the characters. Yeah. Alex for Lee. I just had a hard time like, that's my hero, Alex.
You don't like the name Alex?
I don't know. Well,
then the one of the developers that created the game, they were called Studio Alex. So yeah, I don't know what
I know,
Alex
but
is
I mean,
referencing. But
I mean,
the animations were great. It just was like
cool.
Reminiscent of that old school anime I mm-hmm. used to watch growing up.
And yep, from the 90s.
It was really cool to like. I wish there were more cutscenes, but you know, it was. On top of that, the PSP version, completely different voice actors. Nobody was credited either.
Interesting.
And they were some pretty big people, like the voice of Roy Mustang in Fullmetal Alchemist, Troy Baker, who mm-hmm. plays Joel in The Last of Us.
Oh, wow.
And there's a couple other people that were pretty big, yeah. not credited at all.
Isn't that kind of nice, though,
so
that they're not credited? I
yeah.
think it's kind of nice. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a little Easter egg, as they say, right, Jimbo?
I mean, why were they not credited?
I couldn't really find anything on it. But it, I mean, they didn't.
Did
have...
they not? Did they not want to be credited?
Yeah, I don't
how,
know.
How was the voice acting in the PSP?
Did you like it better than the PlayStation version?
I thought it was about the same.
Really?
Ooh.
Okay.
Some people say the game has like way less charm than the PlayStation version.
We'll talk about it in a bit. Yeah. But sorry. Keep going.
Yeah, they just say it has way less charm, and I mean, I guess maybe I just like campy stuff, so it came off as campy to me, and I'm like, yeah, I'm all for this. Let's go.
That honestly, that was. The one thing I think that people don't like about it was the one thing that I liked about it. Like, I liked, not all of it. Some of it was pretty damn cringy, but I like how it felt like it had more character, where I felt like if they were, I mean, this is going to be a whole conversation about this game, but if they were more true to the original localization or dialogue of the game, I think I would have just snoozed through the whole thing.
Yeah.
Where this is just like, at least some of the dialogue, it felt like they tried injecting some humor, which...
Yeah.
I mean, we'll kind of talk about that. It's going to be a whole thing, but...
Well, why don't we... Let's just open it up right now.
Yeah,
right?
So... Yeah, basically...
Or actually, sorry. Well, Miles,
oh, yeah.
What was your favorite location,
yeah,
Nathan?
Right.
Oh, yeah. Well, I can't really talk about it. It's mainly the frontier. It's endgame stuff. There's some really cool, like, songs that play out through some of the locations there. And I just sat there for, like, 15, 20 minutes, just taking it all in. There's a town called Lighton that the music changes after you do a mission there.
Cool.
And that's pretty cool. So
that's something that I thought was cool too. You can change the music anytime you want. Like, you can play songs of places you haven't been to yet. I forgot how I did it, but I did in the beginning.
Is there like a sound test or something?
I think if you use his ocarina,
oh, I didn't know
you
can
just play any of the songs
through
the game.
Yeah,
so that was kind of cool.
Yeah, I didn't even knew that.
I don't know if that's actually how you do it, but you can do it. I forgot how.
Cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, localization. and now Working Designs is kind of, I don't know, infamous is the word,
sure,
for their localizations, and kind of controversial. What did you guys think about, well, Miles, because I'm confused.
You probably didn't get any of it.
Because that was all re-localized,
yeah,
then, right?
It was
re-localized. Yeah. You know, I felt like the dialogue presented itself well. The like the written dialogue, the voice acting, I thought was fine. Maybe a kind of flat at times, but you know, I got the picture from it. I didn't find any of the characters like not appealing or interesting to listen to. Just maybe like the people who were uncredited for their voice acting didn't put in the full effort. But I mean, it didn't take away from my enjoyment of the games.
So. Did they on the PSP? Is all the dialogue voice, or is it just the cutscenes?
Okay. Just the cutscenes, and then some in-game dialogue.
Sure, that's the PS1 also. Okay. There is some, not a lot.
Some in-game dialogue.
It's like very sporadic.
I was going to say, speaking of dialogue, what I really liked about in this JRPG is that when you were talking to the NPCs, just random people around town, it seemed like your characters actually interacted with them. Like sometimes it wasn't just Alex conversating or having a conversation with the NPC. It was like another party member would say something in response to what they said.
Yeah.
And so that's sometimes where you'd probably hear some of those, like some of the weird humor. Like I think when we were talking about that, one thing that comes to mind was when I won't reveal where it happened exactly, but they mentioned the how many licks to get to the center of a lollipop. And it's like, oh, this is obviously like a working designs thing. Like that wasn't in the original game. Like, but yeah, there's some like sexual references and stuff. And it's like, that's where I think it just goes a little too far.
Yeah, they kind of
like,
slide in there pretty
but
casual.
It's crazy because like back then that probably was hilarious for everyone. But now
sure.
I feel like it's definitely dated.
Yeah.
A little cringy.
Yeah, sure. Really cringy for sure.
So this is hilarious. Okay, so this is on the Unworked Designs on the website of just talking about, they put a quote here. So this was, I think, let me see here. So this is from the original official strategy guide, quote from the CEO of GameArts. The question was, what's your greatest concern when one of your games is translated for the US market? The answer was the dialogue. The only English I know is the English I learned at school, so I cannot tell if the minor nuances come through or not. Even in Japanese, we are very sensitive about the wording we use. We rewrite many, many times. One word in a scenario can move people's hearts. Therefore, we need a translator who is a genius. And then the quote from Victor Ireland, president of Working Designs. Virtually all the humor in the game was added. Japanese humor tends to be very direct and, in my opinion, infantile. While we add some of that kind of humor too, most of what we add is the double entendre department. We also make the character development much more complex. The Square and Enix games are much closer to the direct translation that we do. So it was kind of opposites of...
Yeah, of totally.
Something that's going to be true to the original dialogue is what we want to make sure, and then him just like, oh, we're injecting what we want.
I'm surprised that this game hasn't gotten like a fan translation or something.
Sure.
Because I don't think any of them have. I guess, or maybe putting the Harmony translation on the... Yeah, the PlayStation version or something.
That might be worth it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
what did you guys think about? I mean, did you?
Well, we're gonna head into some spoiler territory now, so we can talk about the story, the direction of it.
Yeah, if you don't want to get spoiled,
I guess about how far.
If you're still working on the game, maybe don't listen to this part. But yeah, we're gonna start talking about the story a little bit. We're not gonna go into major spoilers, but stuff that you may not want to hear.
If you don't want to get spoiled, you can leave.
Sure.
Or
so,
mute.
Yeah. Go ahead, talk about the story, direction, things you thought about it.
I don't know. I thought,
up to the point you played the game, did you feel like you were really enjoying the story? Did you feel like there were things that subverted your expectations of other RPGs that this
I think,
still held true?
I think one of the more interesting things was characters coming and going. Like, there wasn't a solid foundation to your party. Like, Rammus... just fucking ditching out and opening the shop. It's just like, wait, what? Like,
yeah.
Which I thought was interesting because he didn't have a lot of abilities early on in the game. He was just, and how he leveled up, I think, that was the thing. When he leveled up, only his health went up or something like that. So I'm like, well, what's up with this?
And he had no abilities.
And no abilities.
Come on,
so
the signs were there. You know he's going to dip.
So then, because he's voice acted and he's one of the first characters you meet.
I don't know.
Right?
I just think he's going to be the next one.
I mean, I don't think I've ever seen that in a game.
Did
where,
you feel
like,
cheated?
Were they come and go so quickly like
that? I was okay with him leaving. But the makeup of your party changing over the game I thought was very interesting and kept it fresh in a lot of ways.
Did you feel uncomfortable with that change?
Not that it...
How do you deal with change?
That was actually my favorite part of the game because other RPGs, you kind of get like flooded with characters and you have to choose who you put in your party.
You gotta pick favorites.
And you pick favorites. Yeah. And this game, it wouldn't let you. Mm-hmm. You have the maximum amount of people in your party at whatever time. You lose people, you gain people. Yeah. Sometimes you're running with 3, 2, 1
Sure.
Up to 5 people, but you never have to choose between the characters. So that kind of gives the characters that you're playing with like more importance towards the story.
Sure.
Where like I'll just Final Fantasy X.
Yeah, sorry, Kamari.
I pick my top 4 characters and then I say screw the rest for the rest of the game.
Riku, Kamari, sorry you guys.
Yep.
Yep. No, cuz it does make the characters more involved in the story. But then it also I didn't feel like there's a huge difference where, oh, I'm glad I got this person on my team. Like, I need them. So as far as the strategy of it,
really? Kind of
coming back to the battle
I'm
system.
I'm surprised, because once I got the magicians, I was like, oh, hell yeah,
but that's
great.
The thing, though. It never mattered to me anyway, because it's like you're just cruising
but the magicians
battles.
You could use spells that would just attack all the enemies, and so it would make the battles go by so much quicker.
So you're getting by the battles faster. That's, I guess, the only thing.
Well, yeah. No one likes to grind you.
Got him!
Yeah. But there's, I mean... But there's no change in strategy. It's just that's it.
Well, okay, but maybe to our point, to the point we were playing at, there's no change in strategy. But
like, I mean, Miles died one time the entire game. I don't think things are going to change too much continuing forward.
No.
Yeah.
Like I said, the combat was really truly secondary for me. But I loved the story.
Sure.
Like I thought it. There were things that, you know, I haven't seen in a JRPG in a while. I was genuinely surprised by some characters' decision making, things that occurred in the story, reveals later on, and the overall story itself just kind of seemed classic with a lot of nuances that kept it fresh.
I like the way
for an old game.
Absolutely. And I really like the way it kind of just begins, where it's just simple, like, oh, we're going on an adventure, like, you know, and it's just really vague about what that adventure is, and then you find out about a dragon,
right?
And like,
you gradually,
and then it just becomes like bigger and bigger. And I also feel like it keeps this like element of mystery throughout. Like,
it was a
at
nice
least a,
momentum, I thought,
right.
Just a very steady
and,
momentum,
and it really keeps you playing, like, to see where the story's going to be going and like what's going on with certain characters. And I really enjoyed that part, and yeah, I enjoyed the adventure part of it. And like all the, I felt like it was a really bright game too. Lots of good colors and backgrounds. And
oh yeah.
Yeah, the music just definitely kept me going.
I like the battle theme. That was nice.
Yes,
pastel. Just absolutely. Very, just
the
very
fanfare
nice.
Theme was great too. To just like end the battle and just listen to the.
Oh yeah.
It was good.
Yeah.
I liked it. A
couple seconds. Let's listen to that.
Yeah.
So I mean, eventually the game kind of reveals the big baddie, but I mean, I think it takes too long to get there. I think there's too much of just opening hours and hours of. What are we doing? At first it just starts as kind of the trials, but it's just like, what is this for? Like,
Jimbo,
the world,
I think you forgot how to live in a video game world. We're
the world,
like,
the world doesn't seem so bad. What are we doing?
Well, you know? I mean, it kind of starts you off with that kind of like innocent adventure of like, I want to be like my greatest hero. Let's go on this adventure to do that.
Sure.
And then, yeah, it does take a while for that to reveal itself, but I feel like it kind of comes out of left field.
It does.
You start to experience things that the characters always wanted to run into or see in the game, and then all of a sudden things get kind of turned upside down, and you're like, what the heck is going on now? And then you realize kind of where the story itself is taking itself with, like, the sins of the past and stuff like that coming to haunt the future. So,
you say it's a slow burn? As they
for
say.
A 25-hour game, no, not really.
I think it flows well. Yeah. I had no problem with the story progression, and I feel like, at least to the point where I was getting to it, feel like that was, as far as like the big baddie, the main bad guy, that was going to be revealed relatively shortly. So maybe like a third of through the story, I would assume it was going
to
happen.
Did you even get to the big bad guy?
Not yet. You didn't either. I think we're
17 hours.
Oh, you did? Okay, yeah. That's right. You played more than me. I forget. Okay, so yeah, I mean, I'm okay with that. It's just the way it kind of builds and keeps the mystery. And I don't know. I didn't really have a lot of problems with it.
I wasn't a fan of how linear it was. Like, there's a world map, but it's just like you basically have
one place
to go to the next.
And it seems like if you went to an area you weren't supposed to, it's like you knew like immediately. Like,
yeah.
There wasn't a lot of like free exploration.
Yeah. And there wasn't a lot of, I don't know, even, because sometimes that's fun of just like realizing, oh shit, I shouldn't be here yet. But there weren't a lot of chances for even that. Where then you get to the world map, you're like, oh, cool. And it's like, oh, there's just one path to get to the next place, where it's like, this, I might as well just fast travel, which you eventually end up.
But I definitely appreciate a world map.
For sure.
I love it. I think it's,
I'm pro world map.
Very nostalgic for people that have played the old ones, I think.
Yeah. See, the world map in the PSP version was not the same.
Oh, interesting.
You just got locations. Okay. You click to one you want to go to.
And that's what
that's pretty much what it was.
But I know your character could, like, walk around a little bit, and I'm sitting, like, waiting for an encounter to happen out loud, and then it didn't.
It doesn't happen.
So
that was a thing too, of just because there weren't any encounters, and it felt kind of even more just,
sure,
it's cool to see, okay, there's this kind of geographic kind of difference of where I'm going, but mm-hmm. I don't know, as far as sense of journey, I didn't really feel, I don't know,
that had a nice jazzy theme though.
The music was great.
Yeah,
back to the music.
Yeah,
but back to the music.
Always back to the music.
Back to the music.
So would you guys recommend people playing this game if they haven't picked it up yet? How do you feel about continuing on and finishing it up?
Jim, would you recommend it to your new baby or no? I guess is what we're getting at.
She slept through most of it, so okay. She's pretty bored.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know. I think, Miles, you talking about the story makes me want to continue playing. But then the other part of me was just like, again, the battle system, just bored of just, okay, this is going to be another. Because I think, chapter-wise, I think I'm like halfway through. At least looking online at just like kind of where it was, because I wanted to see if I could power through it. And then I realized this a couple days ago, I don't think I'll be able to. I don't want to completely rush through it. But I don't know. There wasn't enough there to grab me. I think maybe eventually, especially if you said that it kind of picks up. But I don't know. From what I played, I don't know.
I think the payoff is worth it in the end. It kind of closes all your plot lines that were happening as the game went on, where sometimes you're like left in limbo. So if you care about that kind of stuff going on, then I'd say it's worth finishing up the game for sure. And like this game has a sequel to it, which is, I don't think it's a direct sequel. I think it's like a standalone story in itself. That game is supposed to be even better and considered very high up as one of the best RPGs. So
yeah, I mean, I definitely would recommend people to try it out, especially if they're interested in the second game and like checking out the series. It has its flaws, but I think, yeah, it's characters and it's, you know, it's stories, and I don't know, the battle system, I didn't really have like a big issue with it. I felt like it flowed pretty nicely for me, and I don't know, like, I guess when I play games, these old games, I don't look to grind, and you know, I like to set, you know, turn on fast forward and just crush through like enemies. And I really liked that I could set the tactics to just attack, so I wouldn't have to, I could set, prepare myself for like a big battle, or you know, I very, very rarely would I have to grind and go back and heal and then come back. Like, usually I would just be able to just easily, that's why I really like this patch. I could just flow through the story nice, and you know, like, I think yours, what was intended in the Japanese version. So
do you use the auto battle and stuff, but do you ever get, I mean, playing older games, do you ever go to the point where you just, I don't know, add cheats or something to get through it, or you?
No, I won't. I guess
just speed things along.
The only time, I guess, I have done that with Final Fantasy VIII that got remastered, and sure. I was playing Omega Weapon, and I'm like, okay, yeah, I've done this before when I was on the PlayStation. I'm not gonna sit here for, you know, how many hours and just fight one thing. And
sure,
it's like, I've already done it before. And
life's too short.
I'd rather just get the trophy and move on. Yeah. So yeah.
What'd you think about the characters?
I liked them all. I mean, I don't know. I thought they were all, at least the ones that I had met, I had no problem. They were all diverse, you know, in their own way. I mean, Alex is almost like a silent protagonist, mm-hmm. in a way. I mean, he still talks, but not. It's almost like Null does the talking for him a lot of the time.
Oh, definitely.
So that's an interesting aspect.
I feel like Null's voice was kind of different than how he was written, at least.
I feel like how he sounded in the cutscene, really high pitch, right?
But then, like, yeah, during all the dialogue, I couldn't imagine reading that in his voice.
Right.
Yeah, it was kind of hard. And that was hard to, like, imagine that.
The PSP version, his voice sounds more like a kid, like a regular kid.
Okay.
Not as high pitched.
Sure.
And I guess more akin to his character.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I like that Nash. I don't know. Everyone just kind of dumps on him whenever. It's kind of funny.
He deserves it, though.
Yeah, he does. But he's just kind of cocky. I like the interactions between the characters, and that they seem like they genuinely care about each other, and you know, it's nice.
Kind it's of not a, just like light humor, though. That's what I kind of found through interacting with other characters. It's just a little bit light, fluffy humor.
Kind of a horny bunch, though.
Yeah, a little horny.
What do you mean?
I mean, Nash, they're always talking about just girls, and Nall too.
Was that the translation, though, or I'm sure. I mean, I'm sure that's the working translation thing that people probably don't
I don't know, Miles.
Not.
Like, did your version feel pretty horny?
Yeah, Miles.
I mean, they definitely use some select language in some really like obscure parts of the levels or the towns you'd visit.
Okay.
So like if you're talking to everybody, then you weren't gonna like run into it. But I mean, it just every character kind of had like a love interest in the game, and so they really tried to like build those relationships up over the course of it. And then the players or those characters were like kind of going against their own kind of like tendencies to be a better person as the game progressed. So,
yeah.
But there was definitely times when stuff was brought up and I'm just like, what the? Is this for real in the game? All right, I guess I know what kind of character this one is.
Yeah.
So
did you guys get the bathing cutscene?
No.
Oh, not yet.
No. Did you? I think I missed, because isn't there a point where you can go to a shrine or something? Shrine.
Yeah, you get, because there's a shop where you buy rope, a soap. No, yeah. it's soap on a rope. No, that was the text.
Soap on a rope.
It said there's soap, but it said not on a rope.
Yeah.
Some of the item descriptions were pretty cheeky.
Ridiculous.
But if you get by the soap, which was pretty expensive at the time, I think it was like 1,000, whatever the currency is, which is a lot earlier in the game. But if you go to the shrine, I think the only purpose of the shrine is just there's a save point there, and then you get this shot of someone's act or one of the characters that you meet. God, I forget his name.
It's Mia.
No, it's not the girls. It's all guys.
Oh, I've seen another one where it's the girls.
Yeah, I think this was kind of like one of those games.
How
that
much was
one of the
again?
First ones that?
I guess I didn't get the guys' cutscene then. I got the girls' cutscene.
Well, I think this is one of those first games that maybe did a lot of fan service. Yeah. It seems like I don't remember RPGs doing this. At least if they did, usually they didn't come west.
Oh, sure.
And now it seems like you see that. I'm sure. I think Persona does this too, right? Where mm-hmm. there's bath scenes and all that stuff.
It didn't seem too fan servicey, other than that, though. I mean,
well, to get the girls' cutscene, you have to go into the Forbidden Woods. And the Forbidden Woods, the enemies are insanely hard.
You
were, I didn't even know it was in there. I just got to a certain point.
Sure.
Let's see your
search history.
And the girl says, "Oh, only the girls can bathe here," and you're like, "Okay." So then it does a 3-second cutscene, and you're like, that was it?
So
like, this is what I came here for?
Is the Forbidden Woods, is that before the Thieves Town? Or, I'm trying to remember. Did you get, what's that one
Jim
town that's
needs
just,
to know where this is.
Yeah, exactly.
What's that one town that's just all like...
Nons?
Is it Nons? It's all wood, that's just like wood planks everywhere?
Yeah, it's the fort that protects the four directions.
So was the Forbidden Forest by that?
South, right? From there? I think I remember reading about it. I hadn't gotten that area.
Yeah, because you're trying to head to Might's Tower or Daemon's Tower of Knowledge or something like that.
Okay.
Oh no, I think you're going to Might's Tower.
That's where I was going next. I think that's where I ended up.
And you can go to the Forbidden Woods, or you can go to Lighten, which is where you need to go.
Yeah.
And
I just don't. I
went to the Forbidden Woods thinking it was the next in like the line of stuff to go, and then I realized I'm getting dunked out here.
Yeah. That's where I grinded a little bit. Because those enemies give a ton of experience. No, I just wonder what the requirements are, why we got different cutscenes.
Yeah, I don't know.
The game just knows what we want, then. Huh?
I guess. It was really weird. I was like, okay, what? There was no item out here. There was nothing but this weird cutscene.
Well, and especially out of place, because the game, in general, I don't think is super fan service-y. Like, all the main characters are fully clothed. Like, some of the villains, there is one... I mean, you could maybe construe it as somewhat fan service-y.
I mean, you haven't beaten the game, so...
Okay, so it does get more fan service-y? Should I beat this game?
You should beat this game.
Okay, all right.
It definitely takes on that 80s, early 90s anime feel. Later you get into the game, I felt like I was watching, like, Escaflowne, like, storylines play out, or, like, what is it, the... Flames of Logos. I don't know. There's another story where it had a very similar style. I'm like, okay, this looks like that.
Does it get more cutscene heavy later in the game?
Yep. Yeah. There's a lot of cutscenes at the end.
Did you like that, or you?
Yeah. No, I liked it. Yeah.
I enjoyed the cutscenes.
I thought it was fun.
Sometimes the music scenes got a little bit too much and cringy. The little lyrics and stuff. I'm like,
it's like a music video. Basically.
Yeah, I know. I'm just like, all right, I'm here.
Setting the tone, man. You got to appreciate the music.
Which is probably pretty impressive back then.
I really do like that. Right. Like the way the cutscenes are longer towards the end. Mm-hmm. I hate when games are just super long cutscenes, like right off the bat. Like it's like I just want to start getting into the game, and I guess I like that they were short.
It kind of jumps
and it kind of moves. It's nice that they added anime scenes with this complete version. It seems like it kind of flowed really nicely, and they did a good job with it.
Yeah,
sure.
Oh, and before we forget, this is one of the promotional items that one of the members pointed out. Her name's Luca, and it's the Galleon promo puppet. He's a boxing puppet. So
boxing puppet.
Yeah,
it's only $60. Perfect.
I know, we could buy it right now and put it in this room.
Perfect.
Are you going to?
Have to?
You probably should.
Yeah, you probably should look. So it's like must be like one of those old puppets that like where you box.
Yep. Like a nun.
His face is such a weird shape. It's not even the same shape as his face.
He's got a big butt chin and then puppet.
Galleon does not have a butt chin.
Yeah. So that wasn't. I always thought that was part of the collector's edition, but this is separate.
I think it's a promotional item, so it might have been like a. I guess I don't really know the history. I should maybe have done a little more research on it, but
that's pretty.
I think
random,
it might have been like a pre-order puppet? Exclusive kind of thing, maybe.
Huh.
Which is crazy to think about pre-orders back then.
Well, because that character too he's introduced late, at least halfway mm-hmm. through the game, probably. Too.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Final thoughts, guys.
I love the game. I fully intend to check out the second game because I heard it's even better. Different characters, I believe. But yeah, I would recommend anybody play it if they're trying to get back into the PSP version. If you just want to get in the game and get a nice, cool, fun story, I think that's great. But I mean the PS1 version for people who want a kind of the most authentic version of it, absolutely should check it out regardless. I mean, I think I went on IMDb and looked at like the ratings. Eternal Blue is like in the top 10 of JRPGs, and this one is like 28th, right behind Dark Cloud 2.
Is it related at all, Eternal Blue, to this one? Any recurring characters?
Yeah, I think it takes place on the same planet, Lunar. Okay. But,
so that's why it's called Lunar.
Well, yeah, I know, but like...
No, I didn't know. I didn't know, honestly. Oh. Is that why it's called Lunar?
Yeah.
Okay.
Takes place on the planet Lunar.
Okay.
Lunar.
Did they talk about that?
Yeah.
All right, I must have missed
it. I think you need to maybe play a little more of this game. Get those questions answered.
But I mean, looking at... just like looking around the discussions in the Discord too, a lot of people like really praise these games as some of their favorites, and I can see why. Because like, if you played it back in the day when you were a kid and you're revisiting it now, it definitely has that kind of like 90s nostalgia.
Comfort food.
Yeah, comfort food.
Comfort and RPG.
For me, it was really fun to play something that wasn't as complicated as like your typical JRPGs you play now, like Scarlet Nexus and Tales of Arise. Like Scarlet Nexus, you have to beat the game twice to get the whole story.
Sure.
Are you about that or no?
And it's like a 40-hour game.
You're about that. Extra content. Platinum, man.
Yeah. Right? No, I beat it once and I haven't come back to it. The Nier remake, you have to play that game 5 times to get the full story.
Sure.
And it changes each time, but it's like this game, you're getting it all right there in a 25-hour serving instead of a 40, 50, sometimes 100-plus campaign where, you know, we don't have that kind of time.
Yeah.
Or it may take you, you know, all year when there's other games you want to try out and play.
Sure.
But you don't want to, like, toss it away and stuff, so.
I thought this game was really wholesome. I liked that it just kind of felt like a old-school RPG and just kind of brought me back to the times when I was really into like those old games on Super Famicom and stuff. So I think I'll try to finish it. I've heard a lot of good things about the sequel, Eternal Blue. So
I think, was it last year? I think you guys played it for Game of the Month. Or it might've been before that.
It was previously one of the Games of the Month. Okay. One or two. So yeah, maybe we'll have to do that as a bonus episode or something.
Yeah. Hopefully not.
This is just something I wanted to ask, like to end the podcast, this being like the first series, What kind of games are you guys playing right now?
Well, hold on. We gotta get Jake's thoughts.
Oh yeah.
I'll just sit here in quiet, looking at you.
Sorry.
Like a little puppy. He wants a little head
pat. I thought you were like, chiming in left and right here.
Pick me. I enjoyed it a lot.
Are you going to keep playing it?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Well, I mean,
80%.
Yeah. All these thoughts are really fresh. You haven't really had a lot of time.
I just haven't taken it in. You know, yesterday, 8 hours just coming at you. But yeah, it kind of kept me going back. Got some snacks. Hydrate.
What were you eating when you were playing it?
Oatmeal cookies.
All right.
And then some licorice. And actually that night, I just ate too much licorice. Acid belly.
Oh, yeah.
And I kept pushing through. But yeah, definitely going to come back to it, though. Like I said, I'm just trying to get back into JRPGs, and this game kind of hit that little mark for me.
You've come to the right place, then.
I have.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm honored. I think that it feels like an old game, and it does. It's very comforting to play.
And the music.
The music's great.
The composer, amazing. I kind of looked into those accolades and stuff. Pretty impressive, actually. So. Yeah.
And he does the music for the second game as well. So.
Yeah. So, I think I've been coming down pretty negative overall.
Yeah, you are. Just your energy level right now. Yeah. I actually moved away from you. I'm sat more towards Miles.
But at the same time, it's one of those things. I think we're going to run into that a lot. Of just, you kind of have to look at it when it released and what it was like playing it back then, where I think I would have dug it a lot more. But now it's just, I think there's just so many different, I've played so many different RPGs that are more complex, and that kind of coming back to something like this, it's not simple in a way like Dragon Quest simple. That I like, where you can, I don't know, you still have to try in battles for this. I think my main complaint is still the battle system of just, you know, there wasn't enough there to kind of keep me interested.
Maybe you should just keep each, you know, experience separate opposed to combining them together. Because, you know, that's the vibe I'm getting, you know?
I definitely have gravitated towards more like action oriented, mm-hmm. like that, sure. that Final Fantasy Remake Kingdom Hearts style of like RPG now. I love it. I love being active, involved in the fight. And I mean, I love going back and playing like a strategy, like tactics, but that's kind of like where my interest lies now. Mm-hmm. And games like Tales of Arise are still like involved and active in the fight. And you can make those choices where you could dodge it potentially. Whereas like a turn base, you're going to get hit and it's going to be a, you know, RNG whether you dodge or not.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I mean, for people that love this game, I don't mean to kind of shit on it. Cause like if someone plays OG FF7, they're not going to have kind of the same love for it that I would. So I could see the appeal on why it's kind of a classic and why people like it, but I was fucking bored to tears. Sorry.
what games?
Is yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Right, I just want to say, like, what games are you guys playing right now? Are you playing any other JRPGs? Or
I'm trying to beat Medieval right now.
Okay.
That's the PS4 or the first one?
Yeah.
The remake? Or
the remake, okay, for sure. Nice. I'm enjoying it. It's kind of hard to kind of transition. But, I mean, I bought it. I want to beat it.
True.
And so that's what I'm kind of grinding out right now. So.
Cool.
And then Call of Duty, you know, my first-person shooters. In.
Yeah, you guys play Warzone.
Yeah, we love playing Warzone. Yeah, we play that. I've been pretty much just playing along with the JRPG here and there and trying to finish up Cyberpunk. So.
Didn't you beat that? Or
I'm, like, on the last mission, but I'm doing all the special side quest stuff, too. It definitely, like, it's just the scratch for just, like, an
open. Are you trying
world,
to get that P?
You know? Oh, the
P word?
The P word?
The Prima Trophy.
Yeah.
No, I don't really care about that stuff. But, yeah.
Do you, did you play Witcher 3?
I did, but I'm waiting for the new patch to come out
and
replay it on PS5 because I never finished it. And I loved it. And I love the Netflix series. Oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
So awesome.
Yes.
Season 2 of that show is so good, man. Like, it starts off slow, but man, the second season's so great.
Is the new season coming out soon or what?
I don't think they've even announced it. I think they're still shooting it.
That's a bummer.
I mean, like, next, it's like a Netflix thing.
They're doing it. I mean, Witcher's one of the, it's popular enough that they're going to continue.
Yeah.
I haven't really been, I haven't had time.
You got a baby?
Yeah, you got things going on.
I've been playing some, because the emulator stuff on the Steam Deck's really cool and super easy. So I've been playing.
It's awesome.
Burnout 3, getting back to that. I'm trying to think of anything else. That's about it.
Well,
yeah, I've just been diving into Monster Hunter Sunbreak Rise. And playing the new Final Fantasy 14 patch.
Oh, yeah, what did that add?
It added like a Stardew Valley like island.
Isn't there like an island or something?
Yeah, it's called Island Sanctuary. You control an island and like have a Stardew Valley thing.
That's
and
cool.
It's and then some dungeons, some raids that and story that pushes past the end of the original Final Fantasy 14 arc. So
Is everyone's island the same?
I think it's all the same.
Okay.
Just to Matt, just depends on how you progress through it.
Okay.
But yeah, it's really fun. I mean, I've been playing that game for 10 years now.
So do you have to have like the botanist class to kind of take full advantage?
That's the beauty of it. You don't need any disciplines of the hand or the land to Yeah. To craft or do anything on there. It's all self-contained. And just kind of like a reward for your character. So.
Do you think like, because what was the last expansion?
Endwalker,
and that kind of had an end to that arc of the story.
That ended the 10-year arc of Final Fantasy XIV.
How do you think they're going to pick up from that?
Honestly, I mean, I have no idea. There's some stuff happening right now that could lead to something, but I just don't know how you top that.
Right, have they planted any seeds to kind of what's coming next, or did Endwalker, or are these patches doing anything?
Yeah, no, they planted some seeds, and they're playing them out right now, but it's nothing like what the first arc has, like, kind of what it meant to the whole universe of Final Fantasy.
Because that's your favorite Final Fantasy game, right?
Yeah, that and 10. I mean, 10 will always have a soft spot, but 14, I mean, the writing and the storytelling, and I've never had a villain be my favorite character in a series.
Oh, wow.
So.
Because I'm just at the end of Realm Reborn content.
Yeah,
I'm slowly making my way through, and that, I think that's when it starts to get good at like Heaven's Ward.
Yeah. The Dragon Song Wars are awesome. Stormblood's okay, and then Shadowbringers just brings it right back into it, and Endwalker's caps it out. So
yeah. You ever gonna get back into it, Rob?
Because
you played a little bit.
They are trying to
make the game easier so you can like progress
power
level yourself through the story so you can get the story.
Yeah. They completely revamped Reborn. Because that was kind of known that.
And they added a trust system so you don't have to play with anybody technically. You can just play with the characters in the game.
Cool.
And do the raids.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be interested in getting into it if like you can take out the fetch quest kind of stuff. Those are the things I just wasn't a huge fan of, and
who is? It's just like
right now I think that's just MMO recipe.
Time, yeah.
So that's why I kind of stopped playing. But I would, I mean, I don't know. I feel like those games are also really fun when all your friends are playing and like you can get into it. And mm-hmm. usually I've been playing MMOs, I'm like all by myself, and my friends are all like level 500. Yeah. And I'm just like cutting wood and collecting flowers. Like I don't know. So yeah, I'm not a huge fan of MMOs, but I tried again, I guess, if they made it a lot easier to progress through the story. But
yeah.
But I do know what our options might be for next month.
Yeah, let's hear it.
I'm not going to announce that here because they actually came out yesterday or a couple days ago. Option one is Grandia. That was it's on a different couple platforms.
Mm-hmm.
This whole month is Sega Saturn month.
Fifth gen,
that's right. Okay. And the second game is Ogre Battle, March of the Black Queen.
Nice.
Which is also on Super Famicom and PlayStation as well.
They made that a Saturn port?
Yeah, it got ported a couple times.
Okay.
Yep. Vandal Hearts, Saturn, which is actually a better version of the game, in my opinion.
Really?
I think. Yeah, I think there's an English patch out there, too.
Was the Saturn version like only in Japan?
Yes.
Okay.
So there's an English patch.
And then the PS1 was the American
that came
English
here,
release.
Yep.
And then Vandal Hearts 2 was only PS1, I think.
And with Team JRPG, you can play any version.
Sure.
So whatever version you'd like. But yeah, I've heard the
I didn't know that.
I've heard the Saturn version is a better, there's just more to the game.
Okay.
And then last, which is actually the only exclusive on the list, is Albert Odyssey. So
okay.
Cool. So those are the four games.
Well, I think we probably have some influence. We should probably tell people what we want them to vote for.
No,
right?
I already did vote, but I won't say.
Yeah, you can vote for your vote. We're not gonna do that yet. Actually, I did change the I haven't told you guys yet. One of the months in November, we actually are all gonna pick our own.
What?
And then everyone's gonna vote on them. So think about what game that you'd like to select as your own that we haven't played yet.
You may have to look back and
then
see, like,
we can definitely promote that and kind of
Rhapsody.
Rhapsody, yeah. Musical Adventure.
Yeah. For sure.
Okay.
No, I don't
know. Pancake Time.
Did you ever play that?
I did play a little bit. It's a goofy game, but
oh god.
Yeah, that'd be a funny one to play.
I'll pick.
That'd be a funny one to do for April Fool's Month or whatever. So, because we always pick a goofy JRPG that month. Mm-hmm. So yeah, November. Think of what game you choose for everyone to vote on.
What month is it right now?
It's a lot of pressure.
What month is it right now? I think it's August.
Going into September.
Almost in September. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's almost fall. Gosh.
Hey, you started Lunar before September. Congrats.
I know.
Yeah, I want that.
Wow. What do you, I don't know. So yeah, have you guys played any of those games before?
I
haven't.
I think I've played Grandia a little bit. I've played Vandal Hearts a little bit as well. Yeah, I think that's it though.
I played Grandia 2, not the first one.
2, okay. Yeah.
Okay. I heard the first one. I mean, the first one has been remastered and reported, so it's on. It's probably the most accessible game on the list.
2 is Dreamcast and Dreamcast first, and then PS2, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Did you play it on Dreamcast?
Yeah, I bought it on Dreamcast.
Oh, and I think the Sega Saturn version of Grandia is also a more, I think, polished version than the PlayStation.
Well, didn't
version.
They re-release Grandia recently? Like, it didn't come out on Switch
right?
And
but
stuff?
I think the one that's we're highlighting for the 5th Gen month, I think that. The Saturn version is supposed to be better than the
PlayStation. Saturn was better for kind of 2D type of games anyway.
There's a lot of hidden gems on Saturn, so it's definitely a system you should check out with a lot of translation patches for games.
I think I'm gonna try to play it on the Saturn
then. Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. Well, that's gonna wrap it up for the second episode of the Low Level Podcast. But this ends our first cycle of the format we're trying out. We would love some feedback to help improve the podcast.
We still don't know what we're doing.
Yeah,
definitely not.
You know, if you have any questions you want us to answer on stuff, if you want us to do a third episode on the game we're covering, so we can go over major spoilers and like maybe in-depth analysis on stuff.
If you want us to stop,
or if something we've been throwing around like a bonus episode covering. You know, talking about another JRPG or other game entirely, side quest.
Yeah. So do you guys think that you'll finish Lunar and do a third episode? I don't know. I might.
I guess
I'm already 17 hours in.
I might do it because I think, since Miles already has, I think that'd be a fun one to do.
Sure.
We'll see when the next JRPG, you know, gets me going. You never know.
Or maybe we should just have Miles just do it by himself.
Yeah, all by himself.
We'll sit in the room and watch him record it.
Hey, you know, people might enjoy reliving some moments that hit hard in that game, so you never know.
Yeah.
At least savor the flavor. Yeah.
Did we, because I said last time, but I've been so busy recently, for the Discord of asking for community feedback, did anyone ever say anything about questions or anything?
Yeah, I think the feedback was generally pretty positive, but yeah, if you guys got any feedback about maybe the format or... Maybe one of us sounds a little weird or maybe a little too low.
Oh, yeah,
or something.
Right. Actually, someone wrote in.
Oh, yeah?
I have right here.
Oh, yeah? Okay, what does it say?
that gym guy sounds kind of weird.
Oh, okay.
That's the latest tip.
Okay.
All right.
We'll keep
that into account, I suppose.
Okay. We got some feedback.
Yeah, maybe we got to line up a replacement or something.
All right, guys. Well, we appreciate you. We appreciate you checking it out today, and we'll see you in the next one.
See you later.
Peace.